bien, pues vamos a seguir con el programa. Ahora tenemos la participación de Ego Obi, que Ego Obi es la líder global del programa de tecnología para la educación en Google, y en esta ocasión nos va a hablar sobre un tema que se refiere a transformando la educación a través de las TICs.
Yeah, so as I said, I want to actually look at how we use technology or ICT to transform education. So I'll start, before we get to the problem, I'll start with what we mean by quality. Can we go to the next slide? What we mean by quality of education, the quality of education today, which is not news to many people. We know the state of education, the quality of education today. And then I'll look at why is it important for us and this group to address, to tackle the problem tackle the problem of education, and then I'll look at the role that ICT plays in addressing these challenges. And with the IT teams, with the ICT directors, with the organizations, research and education networks, with IXPs, we know that we could actually address the challenge of education. So if we move to the next slide. Okay, so the next slide. So research by organizations such as UNESCO actually tell us that 500 million students today in the world have no access to quality education, although 1.2 billion students are actually enrolled in schools. So there's a delta. Why is it that although kids are in school, more than half of those, don't have access to quality education? And with that problem in mind, we need to appreciate and embrace the fact that we need to start to tackle that problem, and it starts with the whole education ecosystem. So not just the decision makers, but the technology, the technical community as well. So I'll go on to the next slide, which actually looks at why it's important that we change the education system or improve. It actually, the problem of inequity, so when I say inequity, it means that the good quality education isn't available to everybody. In some parts of the world, girls aren't allowed to go to school. So that's one, that's one inequity problem. And then in other cases, it might be for financial reasons, not every child can go to school if they have to help their parents with earning income. And then for those who are actually in school, the quality of education is actually bad. So it actually impacts the society on three levels: on the individual level, on the national level, and on the global level. If we think about the individual level, it actually reduces the ability to be employed, and it also results in poverty, income poverty. I was actually trying to look for the stats on the ratio of non-skilled workers to skilled workers. Although I don't have the number, in a lot of emerging market countries, the number of non-skilled workers is actually higher than skilled workers. And the reason for that is lack of quality education. So those who enroll don't necessarily have good quality education, and a lot of students actually drop out. So that's on the individual level. On the national level, so on a country level, it actually affects, it hinders economic growth. Where you have strong educated population, you can actually see the progress. There's entrepreneurship, there's skills for national or global companies. People are able to work in places like that. And then on a global level, it brings about sustained inequalities, global inequalities. If you compare that against some of the more developed countries or where you have strong education systems, you can see that these countries are more stable than countries that actually don't have good quality education. So if we move to the next slide. So this is on a global level, but if we bring it down to Mexico, the next slide. If we actually look at Mexico in numbers, so we know that a huge population just under half of the population in Mexico have internet access. I don't know what the quality, I'm sure the quality of internet access wouldn't be the same for everybody. As you go out into the rural areas, the quality is actually reduced. In terms of students, you have 31 million students. The literacy number is high, but it's basic literacy. So if we go on to the next level where we start to build skills, the level of literacy is actually low. So I wouldn't focus too much on the 93%. And then the numbers I actually have boxed in relates to this group. So most of this group, your expertise is in higher education, right? So but if you can see here, 12% of students actually enroll in higher education, right? That's a very low number. So although you have, there's good enrollment, 98% of kids actually enroll in schools in Mexico. But of those, only 12% actually go on to higher education. Why is that? We need to start to look at those challenges. And then the other stats that I have highlighted is the PISA ranking, which is around, it's a global way of ranking schools. And of the 65 countries that are listed, Mexico features 55 out of 65. So clearly there's a problem. And it's not just Mexico. I mean, I'm in Mexico, so we're talking about Mexico. It's a problem. It's a global problem. But as a group, we could actually change that, right? So I'll come back to the issue of higher ed. So if we move on to the next slide. So we believe that through leveraging the ecosystem, the technical capacity of groups such as this, through the work that organizations such as Google is doing in Mexico as well as other parts of the world, we believe that we can actually transform the education system in Mexico. And just another stat that I found out this morning by the OECD, which is the economic community, the development around education, they've actually stated that if Mexico starts to improve its education system at the current pace, it would take Mexico around 45 years to get to the level of Finland, which has the best education system in the world. So if we continue at this pace, if I break that down into numbers, in terms of reading, it would take, at the current pace, it would take Mexico 25 years to get to the level of Finland. In terms of mathematics, it would take Mexico 65 years to get to the level if we stay at the current pace. So that means we have to do something different to kind of reduce the time. Because if you think about it, the kids of today will be the leaders for tomorrow. And we have to leave a legacy as a, I'm not saying we're old, but the fact that we're all in this room, you have the ability to change or to set the scene so that there's a good foundation for the kids who are coming up and create the atmosphere or the platform where they can build on to ensure that they don't just enroll in schools, they have the education, the basic education they need. The professors and the teachers are actually supported to ensure that they follow the kids all the way through. Those who enroll in school stay in school. And we also believe that excellence in education builds prosperity. Prosperity is really economic growth, right? Okay, so the next slide. Is it slow? Okay. Okay, so the next words on my slides, because I was reading the guidelines, which said 7 words per slide or 7 bullet points, right? So, I try to put pretty pictures, but hopefully have an impactful message, right? We believe that, technology is a tool and it's instrumental in the path to educational transformation. We have a better connected world today with the advent of the internet. And we also have innovative technology, which has opened up opportunities to truly transform teaching, learning, and research. It's not about teaching only. It's about learning. It's about research, right? So, what we've done is we've put together some examples, simple but impactful examples of how technology, we've leveraged technology to actually start to make a change in education. So if we go to the next slide. So this, I'm not sure if, how many of you have heard of Dr. Sugata Mitra? Yeah. So I was saying to the guys in the car today, we're actually fortunate in our job because we get to meet fun people. I actually met with him on Monday. I know Jack's meeting the Vice President of Mexico next week or the week after. We've met the Pope, so we're meeting the Minister for Education today for lunch. So yeah, we're quite fortunate to be able to be in a position where we can start to influence, I mean, not through power, but through, simple things like, technology to start to influence, the economic growth and education system. So Dr. Sugata Mitra is a researcher from Delhi in India. And he he did a research on what does it take to truly transform education systems in the world. And the results from his research basically says that all that's needed to transform education is access, so broadband, access to the internet, collaboration, and encouragement, right? So it's that simple. So if you think about it, encouragement, we can all encourage, the kids for today. And through this experiment, which is whole in the world, it's like an ATM machine. There was a lot of collaboration. The kids learned, and there was improvement in the education for that school. In terms of encouragement, there was that as well. But also the advent of the internet, broadband. And because of the nature of the group today, we'll focus on the access component. So if we go on to the next slide, there are a lot of programs. I heard the mention in the last presentation. There was a talk about the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, right? The HP Foundation as well. Lots of organizations sponsor, projects such as this, where they bring devices, computers, and tablets to schools. All over the world, you have these, and we've actually seen this in the work that we do around the world, in Asia, in India, in Africa, even in Brazil, Mexico, Argentina, all these countries. The biggest challenge is, whilst these things are good, if you notice on the picture, most of the computers are covered. And the reason why they're not used is internet access. Right? So that's a big problem, internet access. So, these devices or computers are actually deployed, but they're not used because there's a lack of internet access. And this is actually quite common in rural areas. So in major cities, in most of these initiatives, the cities are kind of connected. Sometimes, the organizations leverage the national fiber backbone, but there's not much interest outside. How about schools in the rural areas, right? So that's a big challenge. So if we look at if we go on to the next slide, so with this problem in mind, using some simple tools and everyday materials we find in the home, we actually embarked upon a project to build Cantenna repeaters. And this solution is both scalable and sustainable, and it's actually simple and not costly to build. So using cans, like empty cans, Jack built it, but we've kind of grown the program where you use wires and cans you find in your homes to build cantennas or antennas using cans. So that's why we have the name Cantenna. And the idea is to take it to the rural areas where there's a challenge with connectivity. And, this, as I said, the solution is quite simple. It's not costly at all. So in terms of the build time, so we had a demo internally at Google, and it takes 30 minutes to build, and anyone can build it. So with a simple set of instructions, which my colleagues will provide, they're putting something together. We actually, we'll show you how to actually build this. Cost-wise, it's only $40. $40 to build. It's scalable because you have basic kit. And in terms of reach, the reach for each of the Cantenna repeaters is 30 concurrent users, 30 wireless users, over a range of 1.5 kilometers. So if you think about it, so if, say, an organization, has, $4,000 to spend, imagine the reach. So if you take all the rules, take schools in the rural areas, we have an opportunity to make a difference. So this is just an example of one that's been built. And then here's the next slide. When it comes, actually shows children who are actually connected through the antennas. Okay, so it's coming. Yeah. No, it's not coming. Okay, so this is it. So this is an example of the kids that are actually benefiting from that. So internally, what we've done at Google is June of every year, we have a community week where we go and impact our community, so all over the world. And I believe this was actually done in Mexico. Jack, I don't know how many, three schools. Okay, so basically 90 children. And there's other ways we can actually use this. Another example I have, which is the slow to come up. Okay, so this is it. How many people know what this is? I'll give you a hint. It's a planet. Pluto. There we go. Okay. So this is Pluto, right? And when we were children, we learned that it was the ninth planet of our solar system. But in 2006, there was a suggestion that we downgrade it to a minor planet, right? Which is, that's fair enough, but when you think about it, all the books which show Pluto as the ninth planet in the solar system, we're now saying downgrade it to a minor planet. How do we update all those millions of books around the world? It's going to take a lifetime, right? So with digital books, you can make these changes in a matter of seconds, instead of having to reprint the books. So when you think about reprinting, you think about all the languages, Spanish, French, English, Portuguese, Afrikaans, all the languages, right? And the cost of paper. But when you think about the advent of technology and the use of digital books, if we had to make this change, it would be in a matter of minutes. So with that in mind, moving on to the next slide, as a proof of concept, our team, some months ago, a number of people in our team, visited a school in Amazonas in Brazil, right? Most of the schools in the state are close to the river, and if you guys know the landscape, it's mainly water, right? And I believe the Amazonas is as big as Russia, right? It's as close, it's quite big. And in terms of commuting to schools, the kids commute 4 hours each way to go to school. So one of the things that we're doing through technology is how can we ensure that they use that time in a valuable fashion? So they're traveling for 4 hours. Can we bring about the antennas, for example, on the boat where they can learn whilst they go to school? Can we use some kind of video conferencing or using satellite where the teachers can communicate with the children on the boat, right? So anyway, with this Amazonas schools, 4 months before the school year starts, the Brazilian army have to ship books to the schools because it just takes so long, right? So they have to take all these books to the school. And if you, not to think about the shipping costs, the paper involved. So moving on to the next slide, With that in mind, a team of us then visited the library of one of the schools where they demonstrated with the use of a small device for under $50, they can actually store all the books in this library onto that small device. It's actually smaller than, I think it's the size of maybe an iPhone 6, if not smaller. It's actually smaller than that. So if you can think of, you know, there's so many innovative ways we can change the face of education. In a lot of these cases, I was actually speaking to somebody who's responsible for the education system in India. They have the books, the government pays for the books, but because the way our system works, only the teacher is allowed to use the books to teach the children. In most cases, the books are locked away because if the books go missing or something happens, they deduct the money from the teacher's pay. So they lock the books away and the children don't have access to the books. So we have to look at innovative ways of educating children using simple technology, and I believe we're all techies here. So there's innovative ways in which we can change that. So, you know, the device doesn't only store books, but it actually acts as a server and it serves the content to them in a format on over the local network. Okay. So, as I mentioned earlier, next slide. As I mentioned earlier, it takes the entire ecosystem to change the face of education, to drive the change that we need. And Google has actually done that by collaborating with the tech community. Okay, it's not coming up. That's my colleague. He's based in the US. Okay, so, you know, collaboration is important. This isn't the first time you've heard that. In the presentation before, we heard about collaboration. We can't transform the world on our own. We're not the experts. You guys are the tech experts, and you have a presence already anyway. So I'll just give you some examples of how we've worked with organizations such as Kudi from the tech space to actually change to make a difference in education. So one of the ways that we've done that is through the creation and growth of IXPs. So we provided support in creating and growing IXPs so that they can decrease the latency on higher ed connections, right? So there's that. There's tech consulting that we provided as well. And we've supported organizations so that they can then support, support the institutions, right? We've lowered the cost of bandwidth through bulk buying, not just in Mexico, but around the world. In terms of the impact that we've had working with the tech communities, we've done that in 19 countries. There's the TV white space work we've done in South Africa. We've done radio network consulting with Keynet. That's the biggest research and education network in Kenya. And then we've kind of facilitated sponsorships and donations through organizations like the NSRC. Okay, so moving on to the next. Through working with the tech community as well, we managed to drive cost savings on high quality international bandwidth for RENs, right? We've also, developed, I think we've deployed around 120 global caches in Mexico, and we do that around the world. So this is one of the ways, and obviously supporting with POPs as well. Okay, that's very slow. So the next slide basically says, there we go. Google global caches and the POPs. So we free up ISP bandwidth, so that results in decreasing traffic. Okay, so the next slide is around technical consulting. So we, through our technical consulting, we actually kind of develop the ecosystem. So it's either we do it ourselves or we engage the services of research and education networks to provide technical consulting to institutions, higher institutions. So it might be through their campus network design. It might be through providing technical training where there's a gap. A lot of the work that we do actually supports the IT teams of higher institutions. Okay, so the next slide. As I mentioned, as we've seen from the previous examples, technology is a key tool that would help to kind of drive the change that we want to see. And it helps us to remove the barriers that prevent, that kind of brings about inequality in education. So what does that mean for these groups now? Everyone here has a responsibility and a role to play, actually, in transforming education. Most of the focus for this group is higher ed, but it should go beyond higher ed. Kids aren't coming through to higher ed anyway, so what can we do to start to sow the seed earlier on so that they enroll, they stay, they get the skills that they need? But to do that, we need the right technology in place. Okay, so, you know, as I said, we've got the technology, we've got the technical experts, we have our ICT directors who can help influence decisions with the education leaders. We have, research and education networks and decision makers, and there's so much information available. How can we use that to transform the education system? So in terms of what next, I would say one of the first things is, I talked about the common challenge of connectivity in rural areas, and it's not just in Mexico, it's all over the world. There's a lack of connectivity. With a simple program like the Cantena program, you can actually start to spread the word in your communities. And, you know, we have the instructions, as I said, which we'll prepare and share with the group. You can start to, you know, spread the word around these solutions. Try it yourself and see, you know. And it might be through raising awareness, through doing it, and then showing people that it can actually be done. Okay, so the other is through our, what we call the Innovation Specialist Program. And this is, I don't know if everyone's heard of it, but it's something new, and I believe we have some information on that as well. It's where we have a community of active, vibrant, and innovative IT specialists who come together to share best practices. It's peer-to-peer learning. It's collaborative as well. It's an autonomous community, and it really targets the ICT team. So I believe there's a 24-hour support. Google is supporting this as well. We have the details if you're interested in joining. But it's really helping to build the ecosystem. We don't stand to gain anything from it, but the ultimate goal is really around the education. And then the next one, which you see here, is as education as technology specialists and leaders and decision makers, you can ensure that the university stakeholders prioritize ICT initiatives, expansion, campus network, infrastructure expansion, leveraging the experts such as the RENs, the IXPs, to build the connectivity or the internet expansion and deployment. And like I said, although your focus is in higher ed, you should also kind of think about how would you leverage your existing infrastructure outside of higher ed. What we've seen in other countries is what we call a mushroom. If you think of the shape of a mushroom, right, you have your core infrastructure, which is the stem. And then all maybe schools or community centers or clinics or hospitals around your school, if you have solid infrastructure, can actually share. And through that, you're building content, you're building relevant content, you're kind of increasing the traffic of the infrastructure that we have. Others benefit. If kids from a younger age start to see the benefits of being connected and having access to information that others have, then it makes a difference, and it's starting to bring about reform. So, lastly, I'd like to leave you with this quote by Malcolm X, which says, "Education is the passport to the future, for tomorrow belongs to those who prepare for it today." Thank you.
Where we
we have the guide, we have the instructions, and we have the kit. So. Mountainous.